Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2782. And tonight we have a full house already. This is great. We have quite a few people are calling in and some are streaming and whatever. So tonight we have Dr. Tina Medina with us, and she's from Kansas City. My name is Carol Levine, and I am Vice President of NASCA. And tonight we have a good story that the doctor is going to be discussing. And the topic is frozen. Frozen. We all know, a lot of us, I shouldn't say all of us, but a lot of us know what frozen means. Okay. First of all, let me read the mission statement, and we will go from there. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. That's what we do, two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse and presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And I always say, yes, it does, because it does. Number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And everybody always laughs at me, you know, when I say prevention like that. But you know what? There's a reason for that. And I think that if we as a society, we as a neighborhood, we as in our communities, if we would all become more involved with even knowing the signs of child abuse, and then making a phone call, okay? Making a phone call. You can be that child's hero. Yes, you can. And I think that it's going to take we, the survivors, to make that dent that I always speak about in the statistics of child abuse. It's gonna take all of we, the survivors, and then also to educating those who don't know enough about child abuse and how it can and does affect us in our childhood and also right into our adult life if we don't get, you know, the help that we need. Okay, this is so important. Okay, now I've said what I'm going to say. Now I'm going to bring on the good doctor. And she's quite a lady. She's from Kansas City. This is, again, Dr. Tina Medina from Kansas City, Kansas. And she was sexually molested as a child by her uncle. I mean, she had a dirty uncle, too, huh? I had that. Yes, I do.
Yes.
And she's now a professional writer specializing in public relations, community/media relations, technical and grant writing. She has a book series that explains how God is capable of healing the wounded spirit of a sexual abuse victim. And it goes on and on and on. So, anyway, she's certainly a good person to have on the show. And she has an awful... Yes, you are. And you have a lot of, you have a lot to offer. My co-host also, I have two co-hosts, that's the way I look at it. I have Deborah Hunt. She's helping me run the show. She's right here. And I also have the professional Yes, you are, by God. Well, we have the Survivor Professional co-host, and that would be Dr. Tina Medina. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you right now. And then you can tell us what you were talking about. We were speaking about that earlier, about Frozen.
Yes. There was an article in, I think it's the most recent issue of Glamour, and it focuses on the actress Mariska Hargitay. And she's the actress that's been in the Law and Order Special Victims Unit for many, many years. And I believe she, as a child, she lost her mother. And I believe there was some sexual abuse in her life. But in this article, it's very interesting because what she says is that she explains how the loss of her mother really created a difficult time in her life. And I'm quoting this now. It says, during her chat with the publication, Hargitay said she was in a frozen place, which the magazine explained to be the tightening that happens as a result of trauma, whether it's sexual assault, domestic violence, or losing a parent, for a lot of her youth as a result of that trauma. And then here's her quote. I was clearly in that frozen place for a lot of my childhood, of trying to survive, actually trying to survive, she said. My life has been a process of unpeeling the layers and trust and trusting again. And when I read that article today, it really was like a confirmation for me, because I created in my adult book, I call it the onion effect of sexual abuse. And what it does is it describes the effect of sexual, the effect in terms of emotional and psychological damage or hurting that happens when sexual abuse occurs. And what I want to focus on is that this whole frozen thing about being emotionally frozen in place. And what I did today is I posted on the NASA website the article and then a video and then everything that I'm sharing with you right now, so everyone will be able to see the bigger picture. And basically, the onion effect of sexual abuse is this whole layering, and that would be the decades of life, right, that we have. And we put all these layers of life, and good stuff happens and bad stuff happens, but the core is that incident, right, that sexual abuse. And that's where I refer to it as the immature flower. And that's the whole thing of being a victim that's locked into this emotional immaturity or this state of just being emotionally frozen because of the hurt and the damage that occurs when sexual abuse does occur. And so the whole issue of being frozen, right, of not being able to grow or not being able to heal or not being able to move forward because a person feels trapped is very real. And when you sent me that email about, you know, let's talk about people who've never gone past or never gained that step in seeking recovery, this is very real because I've had adults who may be, you know, 40, 50, 60s, and 70s who are still in that frozen emotional place of being the victim still, and there's not been a lot of maturity, whether it's emotional, psychological, or even socially, right? Because it's like if you don't deal with this issue, when will you? So this whole issue about being frozen is very real, and I just share that because hopefully – you know, there's a lot of ways, again, like you were saying, when we reach out for help in our community and when the community decides to get involved, there's so many methods, traditional, faith-based, holistic, writing therapy, talk therapy. You know, there's just so many ways to get healed and to begin that journey of recovery. But I just wanted to share that this actress, you know, by her sharing it, you know, there is the aftermath of trauma, and that's when the person has to be picked up and helped, and like she was saying, hey, I have to unpeel, right, the layers of the onion, right? I have to unpeel the the layers of hurt and begin to trust again. So I think that was a very powerful article, and I just want to encourage people to begin their journey, right? It's never too late. And again, there's always something on the other side of the pain. And so, again, I'm pro traditional therapy. I'm pro all type of therapy. My whole message is just that, you know, reach out to those professionals and get help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. It's good to have also, too, you know, people who can support you as well. But we do need, you know, the therapists or the counselors, whomever is involved. I had counselors working with me, and then they turned me into a counselor. That's what they did, Holy Christopher. But, you know, we do, so many people do stay in that frozen state. How many phone calls do I get? I'm pounding my head when I'm saying that because I'm so annoyed at times. You know, they're stuck. I always use the word stuck. The reason that they're stuck is because either A, they don't know how to move forward, you know, like we have to give them ways to do that. We have to give them tools to do that. Or some of them, which was pointed out to me, don't want to move forward because then it's like an attention, you know, seeking type thing. I don't think there's that many people like that because they're too miserable, right? They would rather move forward. It's just that they don't have maybe the proper tools to do that. So, of course, the onion, I was looking at it before the show started. And, that's something that we all know about is the different layering of the onions as you get to the core issue of the problem. That is so true, so true. And you were speaking about Jane Mansfield's little daughter. Is that who you're referring to? A little bit quickly,
that's
so it might not be right.
Yes, the television show that she was on was always about sexual abuse. And I'm glad that they did that show because it did bring a lot of awareness to the general public. And she did a great job, and she did a fantastic job. So I really commend her and the show because it was Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and it's still on today. But shows like that, you know, are just really good in sharing with the public just the awareness. You know, and I do think that, like you said, how does someone begin the journey? And I agree with you, Carol. There are people that will never share their story. There are people that may not cannot afford therapy. And there are people that do not trust anyone to tell their story. So there are certain groups of people that just feel like, hey, I'm not just going to go to any counselor. You know, I have to gain trust or I have to develop some type of relationship or rapport. But then there's people that I've talked to who've always said, you know, I can't afford counseling and because I know it may take, you know, 3 or 4 years. And then there's a group that may never want to disclose because they feel that, you know, I am losing something by keeping the secret in, right? They feel like they cannot disclose to anyone. And I just encourage that those individuals to try and think out of the box and begin that first step in the journey because getting help is a very good thing. And even in order to, if affordability was the issue, right now there's a lot of free counseling going on. And there are grants that organizations do have to counsel people for free. And I know like RAIN, you can call their hotline. Even in the armed forces, they have their sexual abuse hotline. So there's a lot of hotlines out there right now as well to gain free help. So I would encourage everyone who wants to take that step to go. Don't worry about the price. Just go seek help.
Oh, I so agree with that. I really, really, really do. There are some people that have said to me, well, I don't really need the help of a therapist or a counselor or a psychiatrist, whatever, and then they have a meltdown, okay? And what we do offer here, I should speak a little bit about the show, what we do offer here are programs today at 9:30 in the morning. I received a phone call. Of course, that's wow, I'm the AM night owl, so 9:30 in the morning, I just gotten to sleep about 2 hours before. It was crazy.
Right?
So,
yeah.
I went, oh, he probably thought I was drunk. I don't know. But anyway, I had to explain to him about NASCA. You know, we have a very, very good website because you did mention the programs, and I do want to get that out because we have them also. And then, of course, you know of more. But anyway, the programs that we offer here at NASCA is right on our website, and that's NASCA.org. That's NASCA.org. And if you go to our website, you'll see the red lines that go across, and one has programs, and one has this, and one has that all the way across, different articles, whatever, and the information. And the first one that I'm speaking of is the programs, okay? Mm-hmm. So when people call like this man did, he was from New York. I hope he actually calls me back. Maybe we want to see him come on the show. But I guided him to the programs that we have. We are worldwide, and we have also programs over in other countries and so forth, and information for those programs. So this guy was from the city. Okay, we had something very common there from New York anyway. So we were talking, and I think he'll probably very much like the programs that are offered. And it's very simple, people. If you want a program, you want, you know, in life, okay, you want to go and meet people, you know, face-to-face, not the Zoom way, but the real way, okay? They have the programs, and all you do is click onto it. You'll see the world spinning around, okay? And just simply find your state, okay? I'm in New Jersey right now. So I'm going to click onto New Jersey. And then it has all different towns and sometimes it's counties, but you'll find where you're at. And click onto that, and you would be shocked. Yes, you would be shocked at how many programs are available. And John is here.
Yes.
Deborah's here. Let's see, who else did I recognize the number? I think Roberta's here. There's other people. We have a nice full house here. But the point is, and I need to explain this a little bit, John, so that the people who are just streaming and they're not going to actually be a part of the show, that they get this information. So
absolutely.
I would click on New Jersey, and I would click on my county. And if it's offered that way, sometimes it's just by, you know, city by city by city, whatever. It's right in front of you. Everything is alphabetical. And maybe not quite in your town, because I'm living in a town that has maybe 2,000 people in it, maybe, I'm not sure. There's more bears and coyotes here than people, okay? That's all I can say. So I have to go out of my county. You know, my cat doesn't go outside anymore. No. She would be a tasty morsel. But anyway, the point is this. You go and type to, you know, wherever, you know, click on to whatever's nearest to you. And you'd be shocked. It might be two or three different programs that you can choose from. Sometimes there's more. The more urban area that you're in, the more programs there are, okay? So we do offer that at NASCA. So let's go back to your frozen there. I can certainly identify with the frozenness because as a child, there were times in my life I was going from home to home, house to house. I don't mean foster home. It was so-called family. And there were distant family members, and CPS did get involved. I'm not going to get into that now. But the point is this. I felt stiff. I felt frozen. I felt unloved, and I was. I felt alone.
I would love to hear the rest of the panel on how they feel about that feeling. So,
that's what we're going to do. But I'm just giving them to hold on a second, Deborah. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go from the top and work my way down. So, Bob, this is what the doctor and I are speaking about, and we're going to put it out to the panel, okay, is to give them ideas as to how to answer that or how to add to it. So, Deborah, you're number two, so you can go ahead. Go ahead and talk about the frozen feeling.
Absolutely. I know John the background. Thank you, John, for giggling in the background, because obviously I have this question.
Go ahead.
I'm, John, I really do. Thank you, Doctor, for being here tonight. Of course, you know, all of us here are survivors, and thank you so much for being here. And you talking about that frozen spirit of yours and that we all have at that moment, what would be the most technical term that you could say to a survivor to say, hey, this is your low point, this is where you can come up from? Where is the Phoenix moment in that? Would be my question. And how would somebody be able to get there?
I would think it would be between the counselor and the individual to first start their sessions. And then once trust is developed, it's hard to say on the Phoenix moment, right? That moment in truth, that moment that the buck stops here and everything is revealed. That's very hard to pinpoint. But, again, like she was saying, you know, my life has been a process of unpeeling the layers and trust and trusting again. And I think that is so important. But I also think that, again, when you're honest with yourself, you can be honest with everybody else. And I think it takes that individual moment, that aha moment of, realizing, hey, I need to talk to someone.
Right. Right. I appreciate that. And those aha moments are always so very important. And I thank you for that answer. And I'll give it over to you, Carol.
Yeah, I want to know who the 913 area code. Oh, that's our guest. That's not written in. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, we have also, let's go down to John while I'm putting this in here. Okay. Go ahead, John. What do you have to say about that?
Okay. Well, first of all, Dr. Tina, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, okay? You know, here at NASCA, we rely on everybody, you know, that's on this show to give us information, okay? And what you do for a living is outstanding. I want to tell you that reading everything that I have on you is, I just can't believe the work that you're putting in. You know, if I had one question for you about, you know, just dealing with that isolation and that moment of knowing that when you're frozen, okay, and you don't know what to do, you know, you're locked, okay? You are locked down and you're buried.
Yes,
and you can't escape, okay? And I'm going to tell you, I've been there, all right? And I'm going to tell you what it is that you brought up the words that mean everything to these people that are going to come forward eventually is the trust, okay?
Yes.
That issue alone, that one word, is probably the most, I don't know, significant word that relates to what we do for a living, you know, because that's what it takes to develop a relationship with somebody in order for somebody to come out, you know. And until you meet that person and until you realize that there are people out here for you, these platforms that we have with NASCA, I mean, we can help you. And all it takes is a phone call, you know. I mean, Dr. Tina, listen, you know, you have been here, and you know what to do about this, is that when a person is locked down and they're isolated like that, you know, all they have to do, in my opinion, is just pick that phone up one time. You know, just pick the phone up and call. And I can tell you that your life would be so different. You know, after that, there is light at the end of the tunnel because you're not alone, okay? We have all been through this, and that's
correct.
The main thing.
Yes, and what I like to say is when a person takes that step, right, that phone call, just imagine what is on the other side of your pain. It's unknown, but it has to be better than where you're at today.
Correct.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like
– correct.
Just that first step, because we cannot stay in the state of frozenness or the state of depression or the state of sorrow or despair. Because once we call NASCA, right, we're going to get someone like Carol on the other line with this generous heart, someone like you that's going to be able to say, you know, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's my point, is that we are going to be here, and all it takes is a phone call, you know. And when you have people like Carol and Deborah and Penelope, I mean, come on, you know, we are so experienced at that. We need you to call because we want to change your life. You know, that this is the main point, you know, is that there's so much love. So much love in this world that's there. And all
John,
it takes is that. Yes.
John, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's very
important to
me. Important to other survivors, that we don't just talk about survivors, we talk to survivors. We talk directly to them and say, you can survive, and this is exactly what we can and will do.
Yep. And you know why? It's because we've been through it. You know, we are the ones that have been through this, and we understand exactly what you're going through. That's the difference in us. You know, we actually provide that platform of people who have been through the same thing. You know, and if not, we can find that special person for you. You know, and this is what it's all about. You know, with Dr. Tina being on here tonight, I mean, my God, you know, look at what she does. You know, what a beautiful person.
Yeah,
I mean,
she has
got God on her side. She is really, really, you know, saving lives is what it gets down to, you know. And that's what NASCA does. That's what NASCA does. And we're always going to be here for everyone to save a life, okay? And that's all I have to say, okay?
Well, that was quite good. And it's so important that people understand. I don't care whether you're just getting on your healing journey. Maybe you haven't gotten there yet. You're scared to death. And like the gentleman I spoke to earlier this morning, I don't think that he's gotten on his healing journey yet. And I'm hoping that he'll come back. He'll call me back. Maybe I'll call him back. I don't know, see how he's doing. But people need to know that there are the survivors out there that do care about them. And we are here to speak to them. We do not judge them. We've been where they've been at, and yes, we know what it's like to be in that frozen state, because you get to a certain point, if you get into that point at all, that you can't seem to move forward. I want to see, does Roberta want to come on? I'm going to open up her mic here. Roberta?
Yeah, sure.
Is that you, honey? Yeah.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Was there something you wanted to say, or are you listening? What are you doing?
Well, I was listening. I was thinking about something earlier about how, you know, all the house, because I went from house to house to house. It was within family. And all the different places I lived in all my life, I never felt safe. I was always abused, except for one house. And that, you know, I'm glad for that person that protected me and kept me there, you know. But, you know, I guess what else I wanted to say is I've got a lot of things buried, because every time whenever I was young, if I'd be abused, I don't cry. You get punished for crying. You get up, you forget it, you just let it go, and you smile, and you go on, you know. And I never was allowed to express them feelings and emotions, or I had to bury everything all the times I've ever been abused, in physically or sexually or verbally or anything, you know. And I still had to go to school or church or work, you know, and I just had to, like, bury it, you know. And what I found out the other day, it's kind of like dissociative amnesia or DID or something, I don't know. But, you know, I just got a lot of things buried. But, you know, at least I have the courage to heal now, and I'm able to talk now, because I was in a place where I was being oppressed and threatened, and now I'm coming out where I don't have to fear the people that threatened me, you know, and harassed me and stalked me, because I did report something one time and I was stalked, you know, and harassed. But I'm not going to worry about that, because I still think that that I need to open up and continue my journey, you know, and not worry about what other people think and do or say, you know.
Correct, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried to journal? Have you ever tried to write stuff down?
Well, I have a problem with that because one time someone got into my writings and you know, it was a bad experience. But no, I don't do it. But I did start therapy back again because I was taking a break and I got a different therapist now, and she suggested that I start writing again. So I'm going to start doing that. You know.
I think that would be good. And I even encourage people to lock up their journal, right, to lock them up, especially if they feel like someone's going to read their material. But I believe by writing and expressing yourself and just kind of letting stuff go, that's a really good way. But I commend you for going back to therapy because that's that first step, right? You recognize, hey, it's time to go back, and that I commend you on that because that's a great step.
Yeah, because I got a lot of memory blocks, and some of it's so traumatic that, you know, it's just going to take some time, you know. So.
I just wanted to add something real quick. I'm going through the same thing at this moment. I just found out that I have a brother and a son, a brother and a sister that I never knew, and I'm 48 years old.
Oh,
it is
no.
traumatic. I just threw my DNA test. And
I can't believe that. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, baby.
And,
oh, my God.
And Carol knows. Carol has been there with me. I'm going to cry now.
Oh, it's okay, baby. It's all right. Yep, it's okay.
I just found out. She sent me pictures.
Oh, Lord.
I just found out, and...
Well, we're going to be here for you, okay? We're going to be right here for you every step of the way because that is unbelievable, unbelievable.
And
I don't know.
I'm
this could be a whole new journey
it.
For you.
Yeah. So
oh, my God.
Please keep that journey going because I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's all right, Deborah.
We've had many conversations
about this. I'll tell you something. My mother divorced my so-called, mind you, bio father. I had looked at him as a father figure for some time and then found out, yes, through ancestry. And ancestry doesn't lie. And quite frankly, I knew there was something wrong because of the way I was treated. So I found out a lot of things. And I had two half-sisters. Well, now one has passed. She's passed a while ago because she OD'd, okay? And my other half-sister, she's doing okay, but then we're not really related. They want to be, John. They were searching. You know, they wanted me so badly to be a part of their family, to be, you know, blood. I don't know how else to put this. But anyway, so I didn't feel that way towards them because my so-called bio father protected them from the dirty uncle, Dr. Tina.
Yeah.
And whereas he didn't protect me. So for years, I had all these intense emotions against these two girls. I didn't want to hate them or anything. They didn't ask to be born. They didn't be asked to be born into a family like mine, all right, like ours.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a very, very bad feeling, a very strange feeling. When, and I was supposed to be daddy's little girl. Cool? Really? Anyway, daddy's little girl took off to California. But I was the only one that wasn't hit. Yeah, I know. But I was the only one that wasn't hit, so that made me feel special, okay? So, but anyway, it was a very odd feeling, what I'm trying to get across here, is to all of a sudden realize, you know, he'd been gone for some years, and all of a sudden I realized that I had two siblings, because I considered him to be my father yet, that I didn't know about. It's a strange feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a strange feeling.
Yeah.
And
awkward, strange, out of the ordinary. Yeah.
I had to meet them one time. Actually, I met them twice. The second time was when our so-called father, my so-called father, had passed away, because years went by in between, okay? And I didn't feel anything for these girls. And then when I got my ancestry, Deborah brought that up about ancestry, I realized, gee, there was no blood connection. But for me, there was never any connection because of my own personal feelings. Now, I know of people who have also found out, too, that they had, siblings that they didn't know about. In fact, I have it in my, the other side of the family, in my daughter's side of the family, okay, where a kid all of a sudden popped up, we'll put it that way, that people didn't know about. I can't name names or anything, all right? So,
sure.
They were having very strange feelings. The children, the rest of the family, were having very strange feelings, towards this kid, this child, this girl. And I'm sure she's delightful, okay? But then it's a very emotional thing, psychologically emotional. And also, too, maybe even physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything, to realize, wow, there's someone out there who has, we're like the same blood. I mean, we're related. We are truly related.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I feel
Carol.
About this person? Yeah. How do
Carol,
I feel like
I,
this? Yeah, please
can
do.
I intervene
Go ahead.
Just
you know
a
what
second.
I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, I am. And I tell you that with Dr. Tina being here tonight, I think that she should have a weigh-in on what's going on. Because with Deborah and what you're saying right now, this is a perfect person for that situation. So doctor, really,
well,
how do you feel about what's going on?
I think family dynamics and is not my specialty, but my heart as a human being goes out to Deborah and to you because there's a shock that happens, right? It's not only a shock, but it's a cultural shock because all of a sudden what you thought was a family unit has now grown. And if there's, again, I always like to talk about the truth. If we find out the truth in a surprising manner, that's going to really, really throw us off. Do you understand? Instead of,
yeah,
I don't know
if,
and I don't know, again, I'm very gentle in regards to the way stuff is disclosed, right? Sometimes people will have marriages and extramarital affairs that do result in children, and if the truth never comes out by that individual, then it's always a surprise, and I think it just throws off the entire family. But my heart goes out to you two ladies because I'm sure that was a very shocking moment, right? And it's confusion. It's confusion.
Oh, it is. My father, I see Deborah, I think she wants to go on hold for a minute here. But since we're talking about my so-called father, who was a very abusive alcoholic, by the way. I mean, he hit everybody. Oh, my God. Except for me. But I was always afraid he was going to, all right? See, the fear factor of maybe I'm going to be next, that's not good either, all right? So I would watch all of this. And I had the fear factor that maybe Daddy's going to get mad at me and smack me around, But when he took off to California, my mother remarried. I don't know when. She and I never bonded, never. And that's because she was raped and out I popped in plain English. I'm very blunt. But that's the way I am. I didn't know that as a child growing up. And it probably wouldn't have made any difference because I didn't ask to be born, all right? I was just born. And I wanted my mommy to love me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But with my father going out to California, he remarried too. And all of a sudden these pictures started to, of his children, his new children, to arrive at the house. And, well, they didn't mean anything to me. I never met them. I didn't know them. And I felt even more displaced, all right, than I did before. I felt even more displaced. Bad enough to have a mother who's not bonding with me, a father who took off, and again, I thought he was my real father. And then to have these two kids that are my sisters, all of a sudden, it didn't make sense to me. And I remember taking those pictures and tearing a lot of them up. They made me mad. They actually made me mad. So then as older teenagers, we finally met. And they didn't look like me, and I didn't know that there wasn't one piece part of them that looked like me. So again, there wasn't any pieces to the puzzle being put together. And then finally later on, much later on, my daughter bought me the ancestry. Well, we didn't look like each other because we were not blood. And so it was all very confusing, very confusing. Now, in Deborah's case, they are blood. So, you know, so that's what she's got. I've got something that I never had, and, well, we don't converse anymore to this day because I don't feel like I only have one half-sister left. The other one died from OD.
Right. Well, listen, knowing that Deborah is going through this right now, we have to be there for her. Okay.
Yeah.
And knowing Dr. Hunt, look, let me tell you something. This woman is a beautiful person. You know, she's part of our family, and we have to be there for her right now, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And I know that every situation is different, right?
Yeah.
But knowing that you have people here available, you know, to do whatever it takes, and that's what we do at NASCAR. We are the ones to get you to the area where we're going to change your life. We are going to change your life because of the platform and the availability that we have. With Dr. Tina Medina coming on tonight, it's a perfect example of that. You know, she is going to be there for anybody, you know, who comes her way. And the same with me. I never turn down anybody. You know, and that's the thing, is that I'm always available. I know everybody on this panel is always available, you know, and that's the difference right there. It's about meeting somebody that has been through the same situation that you've been through and knowing to take that extra step and come out, you know, come out of that isolation. You know, when you're frozen like that and you're stuck, you know, it's the only way to come out is to meet somebody that's been there, you know, and we'll help you along the way. We'll look, how many steps does it take? Does anybody really know that?
It's a journey. You're right.
It really is a journey. But knowing that people are here for you and care about you deeply, that we can be there. You know, and to guide you. I mean, this is the main thing. You know, so this is, you know, Dr. Tina, I just can't thank you enough for what you're doing, and that NASCAR is a platform for everyone, you know, to pick that phone up and change your life. Just change your life. Let's do it today. You know, right now. Pick that phone up. You know, this is what it takes right now. You know, I know there are people listening right now. I know there is. I've gotten several phone calls, and there's several more. Pick it up. Make the call.
Okay? Sure. It's that full circle of love, you know, because as survivors, and we're still on our journey, right? We have not arrived. We're still on our journey. We're still learning. We're still growing. We're still helping. But to be able to help someone and at least talk to them and listen, and a lot of people don't have the vehicle to call someone and just to have them listen. So I do commend NASCAR, Carol, Bill, you, John, everyone involved, because it's a tiny step in that full circle of love, that full circle of compassion, that full circle of understanding. Which is beautiful. I think that's the essence of NASCAR.
You just said it. You just hit it right on the head right there. That's exactly what NASCAR is all about, you know. And bringing you on tonight is a perfect example of that. You know, this is what we do. And thank you so much, Dr. Tina. I really, really appreciate you being here tonight. Sure
do. Well, thank you, and thank God for allowing us to be together.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a reason for that.
You know, I read our chat little section there on the phone. We have our little chat section. And we all have a common thread. That's the way that I ended it, because that's the way it is. We may not actually know each other, but we have commonalities. And you see, what people have to realize out there is that they're not alone. They can call us anytime. That's why I'm the night owl. I had 2.5 hours sleep, so forgive me if I yawn. And, you know, I went to sleep around 7 o'clock because I have a very bad arm, bad shot, and now I have a problem. But anyway, we'll not talk about that. Then the phone rang at 9:30. This man needed help. He needed help. And this is what we do. We answer the phone. I don't let my machine just take a message unless I'm not home. Okay? Yeah. If I'm not home, I'm not home. But, and if he doesn't have my cell number or they don't, then they're going to get my message machine, you know. So then I take care of it when I get home. But the point is this. There's been a lot of organizations in the past where complaints had been made where that's all they got was the machine because people didn't get back. NASCA is not like that. It just isn't. And I know because I've been on here 11 years, going on 12 years now. That's a long time. So I know the availability.
Hey, Cal,
yes.
Yeah, Cal, you know, things in life have changed. You know, we have a lot of laws that are working for us now. You know, and this is what I'm about. Is that, you know, I actually was participating and had a lot to do with the changing of the statute of limitations in Louisiana, which is abolished now, okay? Totally abolished.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's a big step here, you know, but the rest of the nation, there's only half of the states, 24 or 25, that have totally abolished, you know? I mean, really? Why is there any stipulations on child abuse? It's ridiculous. You know, with each state, every time the state propose a bill, yeah, it should be. It should be, you know. And the only one that could
do that. Let's talk about
that.
John, hold on a second. That's a good point right there. Let's talk about that. When a person is put up for murder, okay, and they get caught, they go to jail, correct? We hope they do. They go to jail, all right? And hopefully for a very good long time. I mean, if it's self-defense, that's something I'm different on. But, I mean, if they out-and-out murder someone, they belong in jail, and they should go for life, okay? And a lot of people do, and then there are those that don't, but the point is they go to jail. When you sexually abuse a child, well, we go through all of it, the sexual, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the neglect. I mean, I've gone through all five. Many of us have, okay? And I always say, hey, don't feel sorry for me. I'm still standing. And you know my mouth is still going, okay? So, but the point is this. What you do to that child should be equal. It should be equal.
Yeah.
Someone's going, Carol, but I don't know who it is.
That was me cackling back at you because, yes.
Oh, laughing. Okay. So it's because, you know, it's spiritual abuse. She said you're not too. We have a lot of fun. Okay. When a child is abused in all those ways, or even just a couple of those ways, we don't take a yardstick here at NASCA. We don't do that because trauma is trauma. You can't measure trauma. But what we can say, okay, people will say to me, well, okay, there's something called PTSD, and then there's, you know, even more. And the other is when you have trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma complex, PTSD.
Mm.
That's when you have something repeated many, many, many times.
Well, it's CPTSD, okay? It's chronic.
That's right.
Yeah. You know.
That's complex, post-traumatic stress disorder, yes. And that's what I was trying to say. So what I'm getting across to you is it doesn't matter if it's a complex or if it's the PTSD, it's all trauma. And with the complex PTSD, though, it does take longer to heal because there's so much that has to be healed. And we are, as a child, when we are in that state of frozenness because we're being sexually abused, I remember standing like a statue. I remember laying on the bed like a statue as I'm being sexually abused,
yeah.
Okay?
I honestly to this day still do that. I will not move on a bed unless I take a sleeping pill. And I'm not taking sleeping pills, but yeah. I will not sleep. I sleep on the edge of the bed so I know how to jump out of it, and I know where my shoes are. I know where everything is. So I can jump out.
That's right.
And get the fuck out of town.
Yep.
And so I can lock and load before I get out, because I can guarantee you I'm not going to do this again. That is my statue. That's where I stand.
There you go.
That's
there
right.
You go.
That's right. But you see, look what she just said. All right, now you're going to laugh
yeah.
at me probably, or maybe you're going to weep. I don't know which. But I have two switchblades, okay? I think I'm laughing now.
Damn.
The way I look at it is this way, okay? I have one up by my head, okay, by the pillow, that area in the frame of the bed. And then I have one down low. I feel, well, somebody comes in. If I fumble the one knife, I've got the other one. This is how my mind thinks, okay? All right?
You ready for war.
And then, I've just begun, honey. I've got nunchucks under my bed, too. And if none of those knives work, I've got the nunchucks, okay? And then I got my Annie. I don't want to talk about that, but I got my Annie,
yeah.
too. So this is all in my bedroom. Why? I'll tell you why.
This is all under my pillow. What are you talking
yeah,
about?
You
yeah.
know why?
My pillow.
If I
had to lock and load in about 3 seconds. Shoes are in, socks are on, and you asked me how I fit all into my bra. I made it work out. That's how I
Look,
make it work.
If I was to send you all,
we've got it mapped
video.
Out in our brain, John. We've got it mapped out
yes,
in our
do.
Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
if
you
I
see, this
you
is what happens.
Video,
it's
does.
Not even a matter
me,
of being frozen in that sense. Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead. It's a matter of self protection.
If I was to send you all a video of my room, you're not going to believe what's on the walls. I have a compound bow. I have a spear that you shoot underwater. I have a crossbow.
He's going to behead someone. Got a cross?
Yeah,
I have a 10 gauge.
I have a 10 gauge sitting right next to my bed. Not to mention some pistols. Yes. I mean, you know, heavily protected. Only because at times, and I'm going to bring this up, you know, being an advocate, you know, and being involved with putting down the archdiocese for everything they did and taking down pedophiles day after day, I do specifically think that my life may be in jeopardy. But you know what?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
No,
I'm going to be there, and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for survivors to the day I die.
Correct.
This is going to be.
You know, I love that you said that. I really do love that you said that, and I'm sorry, Carol. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I do, too. Wait until I get older. Go ahead, guys.
Carol and I did talk about our weapons, and we love our weapons. But those are weapons,
I
as
do.
You said, you sit back. And you know, when you've been attacked over and over again, you need to learn your weapons in order to protect yourself. I know how to protect myself. It's still doubt that if I walk out to my Jeep just to get my shit out of my Jeep, if I'm not going to be utilized just because somebody jumped out of the bushes. I don't know.
I'm going
to
tell you, timing is everything.
I have to be locked and loaded, and locked and loaded is my favorite terminology.
Well, listen, whenever you pull up somewhere, you know the environment. Always look around.
Right.
Make sure you're protected.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that no matter what, if there's a vehicle you don't recognize or something that's going on, you know what?
Yeah.
You sit there and you make a move and you get protected. You know, that's what it's all about. Because I'm telling you, they're out there. You know, I mean, we're gonna be the ones to put them in jail. You know, and that's what I do.
That's right.
I'm not going to take anything else any from these pedophiles anymore.
Well, then you should
going
come
after
out here.
Them, look, I'm going after them one at a time. That's all I can do. You know, and if I propose that there's a problem with something, with a pedophile being involved, whether it be probation, whether he be involved with, you know, something where he can't be around playgrounds, schools, you know, things like that, let me tell you something. I'm going to be on top of it, okay? There's no question about it. Because, you know what, you made a mistake in life. You don't mess with our kids, okay? You do not do it.
Not.
And it's
do
not
going to
happen anymore.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'm telling
Hold
you.
On a second yep. now. Hold on.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, John, with the school system. In fact, a lot of things happened at school, too, all right? I was being stalked at school by a guy who ended up kidnapping and raping me in New York, okay? School grounds are a very dangerous place because the yard is outside in the front a lot of times. You know, you got the schoolyard, it's all cement, and cars are all over the place, and you don't know who's watching you or looking at you. How are you supposed to know? You're just a kid anyway. But anyway, the point is this. Yes, I wrote a letter, okay, in Peaburg when I lived there before I moved here. And they were going to have all kinds of volunteers, you know, help with the summertime activities, you know, with football and baseball and all the things that the kids play out in the field and all that stuff. I wrote them a very simple letter. Have you ever even tried to do a background check on those volunteers? Because, you see, we have to think about things like this. We have antennas. Yes, we do. And we know when someone's not right, okay? We can feel it. We can sense it. We've been through so much abuse that they're starting to leave little trails behind them that we can figure out what those trails are, okay? We have an idea.
Yep.
Now, the school system, unfortunately, not that there aren't problem teachers. Don't get me wrong. Oh, yes, there are. But the school systems don't, I'll tell you something in a minute. In the school systems, they don't think that way. They're happy to have the volunteers. But who looks at the volunteers? A person goes and applies for a job as a teacher. And they had the background checks, and I hope that they're good, all right? That's all we can do. We can hope that they're really good. But then we have the volunteers. Volunteers go where children go. Pedophiles go where children go. So I put it in a much better way than I'm speaking now in the letter. And it did get published. It was in the paper, in our little paper that goes around. And that was good enough for me because I had to get the idea out there to the school system that volunteers have to be looked at too. Because
yes,
like you
do.
Said, John,
Absolutely.
You mentioned the school. You mentioned the school.
I have the perfect story for that. I have a perfect story for that. Let me tell you what happened. There was a guy, okay, that was under investigation at a playground. So he ran the playground. He was there, okay, all the time doing his work, everything else, you know. Well, there was an accusation against him. Somebody accused him of doing stuff. So he got fired. And he was under investigation, going to jail. Do you know between that time that he was under investigation, right, he came in to a school as a DJ, okay, because the guy got sick. Yes, the guy got sick. The original DJ got sick. He filled in for him. And you know what? We recognized him, okay, and we had him removed from the property immediately because the dads, okay, I'm telling you that in Catholic schools, they have what they call, you know, you can kick in with the fall of, you know, Dad's Association, right? And it's a huge thing with that here. And he came in as a DJ. Can you believe it? You know? I do.
It
fascinates me how they sneak in to an environment, you know, just to get close like that, you know? And look, you got to recognize. You got to recognize, you know, and this is what it's all about, you know, protecting our kids.
But you see, this
is
what we have to teach
source.
People, John. We know this,
right.
Okay? And we're going to get the doctor involved here again in a second here.
Yes.
We know this as survivors. Yes. We know this as survivors. But what we have to do is get it to become a community thing. This is why I'm always so speaking about, you know, like the Guardian Angels, Block Watch. There's other groups out there, more than Block Watch, Guardian the other ones out there. And Neighborhood Watch, Crime Watch, there's four that I just named right there. And they're all legitimate, you know, people that are watching out for kids. However, the ones that work with the children, this is what attracted me way back when Deborah wasn't very old. In 1979, when Curtis started the Guardian Angels back in New York there, in 1979, okay, and I became automatically, my antennas went up and go, whoa, that's a cool thing to have, because they worked with the kids in New York. Of course, in the bigger the city, they work on the subways, they do everything. And, you know, they're wonderful people. So, you know, groups like that, and then you have Crime Watch, they do their thing, and they will work together. Yeah. They will have meetings together. And as long as we have organizations that work together, all right, that keeps for a safer city and hopefully for safer children. But on the neighborhood, they do say, today especially, every five houses, it used to be five to seven, now it's every five houses, there's some kind of abuse going on because of the COVID. And also, too, because of the economy and what's going on in our country. And the parents are going nuts with the kids. Go ahead.
Carol, I would love to hear what Dr. Keeling has to say.
I thought you were a doctor.
Doctor,
get ahead. Go ahead.
Fascinated with your weapons, Carol, your weapons, John, and your weapons, Deborah, because it triggered me because I just did like some remodeling, and it was so important for me to have light outside. You know what I mean? And I have light, right? My front porch is lit, and my back porch is now like lit. And it's interesting because I had a dream, and in this dream there was like this, and I'm sharing with you because it made me buy a sword. And in the dream, there was like this snake coming after me, and I was in my grandma's house, and I asked my brother and sister, and I had the snake in my hand, and I said, give me a damn knife. And nobody had a knife. And I wake up, and I get on eBay, and I buy a sword, and I said, I have my damn knife now. You know what I mean? So it's interesting how all of us, whether it was done, right, consciously or unconsciously, we all have our weapons. And to me, that's
right.
That fight, though, the movement, right?
And,
that we're no longer
the
kids. It's
you
time to gear up.
Off, too.
Yes. Yes. And that was the goal, right? The goal was getting his head off. And I was mad at my brother and sister. They were there. And I said, where's the damn knife? Where's the damn knife? Nobody had one. And then I just, you know how you just wake up and I get on eBay and I was drowsy.
Right.
And I got in the storm. But it was interesting because we all have our weapons, right? Whether they're the sword or the bow or the, you know, getting geared up to be able to get out of the stairs and run or Annie. So I think that's very fascinating. That just really enlightened me. That's good.
Well, you see, you know, I tell you what, I'm so sorry, honey. When we've been violated to the extent that we've been violated, We need to feel safe. We need to feel safe. I could do a whole show, maybe with you, Doctor, on safety, which we can get in, you know, not tonight. It's too late. But with children and how it affects us in our adulthood. We're adults now, I think, okay? I've read so many articles and been told that at a certain age, it's usually in the teenage years, where a lot of times we don't actually get older than, say, 17 emotionally, okay? It's usually speaking on an emotional level in some ways because there's some kind of abuse that happened, and that affects the way we behave too. So, but anyway, because look at me, I'm the clown. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I don't feel like it. But the point is this, you know, there's some ways that I am very, very young yet. And then I tell my children, once you give in to age, and I mean this, if you give in to your age, then that's the age you're going to be. You know what I'm saying? Then maybe, sure, I'll start drooling or having them wear diapers or something. I'm not in the mood for that. Go away from me. I'll tell you when I'm old. I'm not old yet. So, but the point is, as children, because we are so sexually abused, and physically, mentally, emotionally, whichever way it takes its form, or all of them, we're going to feel unsafe.
Correct.
And we're going to have terrible, terrible trust issues. And that runs over into relationships.
That's
and it goes from there
about,
to
Carol.
There to there, okay?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, you know,
mm-hmm.
is trust. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
yes.
Dr. Tina, how do you feel about that? I mean, you know, the trust issue to me
is
the main
when you stated,
thing.
John, when you stated that we're going to be very conscious of our environment, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I'm walking in a car, I'm very conscious, right? North, south, east, and west, 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, right? Always understanding who's there, who, what, where, why, and when. And I think part of that is because I was a former journalist too, but
awesome.
Yeah, I think we're very just conscious of where we're at. And when we see, I know I do, anytime I see a male with a little girl, I'm like eyes on, right? Just to make sure,
right?
You know, everything.
Yep.
Okay. But no, I agree. I think the experience of being sexually abused gives us this extra, like you said, radar, right? We're just aware, consciously aware of everything. And trust is hard sometimes, but I think sometimes it's like, this is what I've learned, and this is what I've always told myself, especially when I do, because we did a lot of street ministry. We would do a lot of street ministry with the homeless.
Wow.
And I told the whole group, I said, listen, not everyone's going to talk to us, right? Not everyone's going to share. But we would go with spaghetti and chicken, and we would go to what they call in Kansas City Jurassic Park. And anyone who's been in the homeless community, they know it's this huge park, and a lot of people go, and we would make food, and we would just sit down with people and talk to them. But we knew...
Yep.
Anytime we would extend our hand to us, like if I'm extending my hand to you and saying, hey, I'm committed to help you, I'm committed to give my time, I'm committed to share resources, I'm running the risk of that person rejecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Not everybody's going to reach out to me and help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of have already prepared myself. You get what I'm saying? Because it's kind of like I'm willing to help, but it's that other person that has to extend their hand back to me and say, okay, I'm going to take a step to trust you. So I think we have to balance that, right? Once we have to gently balance the consideration. But I think the journey's still worth it, right? Even if, let's say, 7 out of 10 may say no, it's when I'm not expecting it. Like, let's say one time I was writing a resume for a gentleman, and he told me, Tina, the reason I trusted you and I'm with you is because I was sexually molested as well. And he ended up, you know, telling me a story. But I think it's when we're here to help.
Well,
we're
that's
wanting
exactly
to,
the point. That's
you know
exactly
the deal,
the
yeah.
point. He came to you. He came to you, and he opened up to you. And you have to recognize, you know, what they're doing. And that is special. That's really special.
It's
and it happens to me a lot. It happens to Carol. It happens to Penelope.
Yes.
It happens to Bill. It happens to all of us. And what a beautiful thing it is, you know, to somebody to open up and pick that phone up, you know. And two, you know, we have a guest call-in number. And while I'm on this, if I could, Carol, can I just say the number, you know, just to get anybody
sure,
else
go
to
ahead.
Call in?
We don't have much time left, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know that. But it's area code 646-595-2118, okay? And look, if you want to participate and you want to have a comment on everything that's going on tonight, you're welcome to call in. However, I just want to say that tonight has been such a wonderful show, such wonderful information, you know, with people that, that are going to be there for you. And we want you to come forward. I know that there are people out there that are listening right now that are looking for a change in their life, okay? They need somebody in their life to make that, that one call and somebody that they're going to bond with, because that's what it's all about. You know, it's really about people that know what you've been through. I mean, don't you agree, Doctor, that, that whenever you open up, you know, you have to be there for them and realize what they're going through. And the only people that can do this is people that have been there before. You know, we understand what you're going through. I mean, Carol, come on. You know, you have been through it too. This is what it is. You know, and having Dr. Teen on tonight, look, we have extensive areas of platforms that people can thrive on. I mean, if you go to NASA's website, you know, you're going to find everything you ever need. Everything. You know, so I do love y'all for what you're doing, and it's such a beautiful thing, okay? And we're going to continue.
No, I love NASA, and I donated my time a long time ago when I first met Bill, and I always felt this is such a cool organization, right? Because it's free resources. It's the simplicity of just, like you said, being there to listen, and that's what the beauty of this whole thing is about. Because if people do need help, it's time. Yep. It's time that this movement begins to get help, to be free, to be geared up, to be weaponed up, and to get in the game. And you know, I see this as there's 60 million people in the enemy's camp, so to speak. We need to bring them out, right? We need to be reconnaissance. We need to be the Secret Service. And we need to go in and bring out those people that are bound by sexual abuse and bring them in, go from darkness to light. That's my whole thing.
Absolutely.
Get help.
Yeah.
And remember, too, those are only the ones that have told, okay, the 60 million. There are so many people who are sexually abused, and we're speaking about sexual abuse with that number, not even counting the other abuses. But so just think of that, all right, 60 million in our country. Think about it. That's crazy.
You know, we have the highest. We have the highest ratio.
Yes.
You know, I pulled up missing children, okay? And you know that missing children have a lot to do with sex abuse, right? Because it's going to happen because of what they do. But do you know that the highest country, okay, in the world, and I'm going to tell you this, is that Russia came in at 45,000. And the UK came in at 112,000 at the UK.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fathom this. USA. Okay? 460,000.
That's right. I have those stats too, John. I have them.
You know,
and that's
disgusting. I can't fathom that.
Hey, well, here we are. So look, the country that we have, right? What do they call it? The industrialized country, all right? The people that we're supposed to be, of course, everything's all crazy right now. So even the numbers you have and I have, and they're very similar. The point is this, because of what's going on with the migrants, all right, coming into our country, we're getting inundated. We're getting flooded with all of these people.
Yep.
And a lot of the teenagers are disappearing, and there's even younger ones that are disappearing, and they're using them out on the street. So pretty soon, those stats... You know, and it's going to take studies, and I don't know how long this is going to go on for. I don't even know when
that's
the accurate
point,
studies
Cal.
Could be, you know.
That is a good
so
point.
So now
that
we have
great,
even a lot more.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have even a lot
great
more.
Point.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's disgraceful.
You know, it's going to go in waves. This is what it is. Is that, you know, you have each decade, right, of people of ages that were abused at different times. And we grew up, and the way it happened to us, we were in the 60s and 70s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those people that are in their late 30s right now, mid-30s?
Yeah.
You know, they have families. You know, they have, responsibilities around the community that they have suffered, okay, inside. and they don't want to mess up, you know, the family with being involved, going to church, you know, and the whole thing, because what happened to him is that he wants to see his children, you know, revolve and be, you know, what he didn't have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is serious. It really is serious because
it really is.
Let me tell you something, is that, you know, the kids today, now that we have put a hammer down on what's going on with abuse in the schools, you know, is that we have made a serious impact on shutting them down, you know, and making sure that our kids are safe. And this is what it's all about, you know. So, you know, Dr. Tina, listen, you know, our future, you know, is all about our beautiful kids. I mean, every time I see a wonderful child doing something and being, you know, growing and being involved with sports and being a part of the right way of life, you know, it's beautiful to see. Unfortunately, we didn't have that. You know, we were abused, you know, and that took a major toll on the way our lives went. You know, we took a different route. But you know what? We grew up. You know, we grew up and we became warriors, okay? And we are going to make a change in the world. You know, we're going to change this world, and there's no doubt that we are, because of people like you. You know, you making a serious impact in Kansas City. You know, I'm down in the New Orleans area, but I am worldwide, and I will participate in anything that it takes to make sure that NASCA is part of the recovery of people that need, you know, that in itself. So the support is here. You know,
I concur, and it's beautiful because, like you said, we're warriors, and there are millions of people that need help, and children are being abused. I think the numbers, I think it was 275,000 teenagers.
Uh-huh.
But no, I'm with you. I'm with you totally, and I agree.
Mm-hmm. And this is horrific.
Well,
this is horrific.
The only reason I brought up 460,000, okay, that's missing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That are reported.
Okay.
So how many of those missing children are actually being sexually abused?
Oh.
Probably about half. I'd have to say more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have a serious issue. Yes. Look, we had Nick Bryant last night, you know, on the podcast, and this is the reason these numbers came up. It's because he's an extensive warrior, just like you, Doctor. You know, and Doctor Tina, listen, you are making such a change in life, and you're a beautiful person, and we want to be here for you. Okay, so NASA's gonna be here for you no matter what it takes.
And
well,
vice
she
versa.
Knows that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
vice versa.
Yes.
Tina knows this. Okay. Look, we're family here, and she's not just doctor. She's Tina. She's our family too. All the ones that we have on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're our family. They're part of the NASCA family. We call them the special co-hosts and all this other stuff because they've. You know, because they're survivors and also professionals in their field. Some are psychologists, some are, you know, whatever. We've had psychiatrists on. We've had police officers on. I had to explain this to this guy today. We've had so many different kinds of people from different organizations and so forth on the show. And it's wonderful, you know, that we have that because we learn from them.
We do.
We learn
That's exactly
from
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we know what to tell the people, because there are an awful lot of people that listen to the show. They don't want to come on the show. They're too bashful or something.
Well,
but
you know,
they're
Cal,
listening
the resources,
to it.
It's the resources that
yeah.
we have. You know, the resources
right.
are unlimited. And you know,
yeah.
people need to realize that we have that for you. And we're going to be here.
And that's why I'm constantly doing research so that I get these numbers. But one thing I have found out, and what I have found out too, there's organizations that don't agree with each other. So then I have to sort of like back off and wait until the studies come in.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you have to like, hey, guys, I don't care if it's a little bit off, but if it's too much off, you know, like we are very close to saying 1 in 3 girls, absolutely, and 1 in 5 boys now at this point, unfortunately, are being sexually abused before the age of 18. And that's because the way that our world is, the way that our country even here is, okay, these things are happening. And so it's no longer 1 in 5 and 1 in 7.
Don't you think that education, you know, is the key at this point? Because
look
at the change in life. Look at the change in life to where we were, you know, back in the 70s and everything that happened. There was so much, you know, cover-ups going on, and everything was really you couldn't do anything. Now life has changed. Life has changed.
No, it has changed.
Because
it's changing all the time.
Because of us.
Yeah, because of us, but unfortunately, because our world is going bad, all right? Our country is going, it is bad.
We still have to maintain.
So that's changing. That's changing, you know, what we've been saying over the years. So what all the organizations are doing, they're getting together. I've spoken to quite a few of them. And I rely a lot on the Mayo Clinic. I rely a lot on Child Help. A lot of times their averages and so forth are very, very, very similar. They seem to go together. And then also, too, Dr. Tina, I had given you an organization I dealt with today. Then that was a Canadian one, and they were very good and very close, too, even though it's over there and we're here. The point is, the stats in some areas are starting to close together so we'll have a better idea. But if I'm not sure of something, I'll just keep my mouth shut about that stat because I don't want to give out bad information.
Carol, I would love to go back to the doctor. And Dr. Tina, I would love to ask, what are the stats that you're seeing and what do you feel? Because we're going down to about 7 minutes of the show left. Can we have some thoughts and get some questions from the panel to see what you have to say? Can we go to do that, Carol?
I've always used RAIN and NASCA stats for the last, because I was introduced to NASCA, I think, in 2013 or 14. I've always used NASCA stats and RAIN stats, and then I'll use the Department of Justice stats and their crime victim reporting. But you're right, Carol. And see, let me just share this as a grant writer and a researcher. People will manipulate numbers to prove their point. And you're right. There needs to be the numbers are the numbers, right? There needs to be a straight line in regards to the numbers, because I can tell you, I know that one organization has changed their numbers, because I was always saying, well, there's been 60 million people in America who were sexually abused as children, and then one organization agreed with that number, but then they switched it down to like 40 million. And then I thought to myself, wait a second, 20 million people didn't die, right? To me, the numbers are the numbers. And so I think we just have to be very consistent, but also understand this. Let's go from macro to micro. Every one of those 60 million people, like John was saying, needs somebody to trust, right? We got to break this down to the person, to where that individual knows, oh, my God, I can call NASCA now. See, it's one thing to talk large numbers. I always like to break it down in a micro perspective, because when we reach that one individual, that's one person of the 60 million that now is on their road to recovery. And that's the way I've always looked at it, one person at a time. Like John was saying, you take your time. Carol, you take your time. Deborah, you take your time. When that person calls, it's like they're their most important person in the world, because that's their moment to talk. And so when we break it down to that one person at a time, to me, that's the substance. That's the meat and potatoes. That's what really matters.
That's wonderful. That's exactly right. And you know what makes me happy, too, Doctor? And we're almost out of time here. I'm at the end of the show in about, what, 4 minutes? My clock is always 3 minutes fast. So, well, we still have 5 minutes, approximately. Yeah, so what I want to say, though, is more men are coming on. And this is what I told this guy today. And then I like to get it out, though, when we have a show. Because more guys, so John's there, right? You're a guy, that's for sure. He's on. And, you know, we have so many guys that are coming on the show now. They're starting to come out. And this is good because they hurt just as much, Deborah, as you and I do, you know.
Yes.
They do. And we need to have them, all those guys, feel comfortable. And our programs are getting better, too. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to go back to Rebecca. If we could get some comments from Rebecca. She's been on for a while. She wanted to listen, but I would love to hear if she has some comments.
Yeah.
Oh, Roberta, of course. Yeah, I know that.
Roberta? Okay.
Are you there,
Roberta?
I
just want to say, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear you? Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was really glad to listen. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I think that this has been NASCA ever since I first started talking with the NASCA. It's like a door opened. It's like where hope, where you have, you know, it's like there's the darkness is going away. You know, there's hope.
It is.
There's light.
It is.
You know, there's real love. There's real people. There's people that truly care. You know, and they don't tell you you're crazy or you're lying or you're, you know, things like that, you know. So I just wanted to say that. I'm really glad you're here, and I'm glad I got to listen tonight. Thank you.
Well,
it's definitely an awesome show.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, Roberta and I have a lot of conversations. We certainly do. She calls.
Yeah, me too.
And,
she's
usually the latest one to call us. And that's okay, because all of a sudden I'll say, time to go to beddy bye, don't I say that?
She's a beautiful
And you know
person.
What? It's time for me to go to beddy bye, too, when we do that. But, we do that. But there's a lot of people that do call. Now, I love talking to Roberta. But then again, that's what we're here for, the night owls, okay?
Yeah.
The night owls. And there are, what, three of us maybe? I don't know. But, you know, they always know that they can call. And so often in the AM, people do have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So it's good that they have someone to call, all right? That's, you know, we do offer that, you know, at NASCA.
And it is.
So I just,
you know, a lot of times, Carol, people have a lot of issues with, you know, going to sleep and having, you know, that issue about wanting to pick that phone up and call somebody, you know, and that's what it gets down to, and just making that call, you know, and we're here for that. We're here for that every day. And we go
seven
through
days
it
a week.
Seven days a week.
Wonder. 365 days a year.
That's right, baby. Yeah. That's right. And that's what we do. It's a full-time job.
Holidays are coming.
Way.
Pretty soon we're going to have a show on that.
It is.
Because we know that our people are going to be, you know, down. Oh, my God.
Yep.
There's a 90-second
And we have
there.
To be there for them. And we have to be there for them.
It's
such a joke.
Good night.
Key.
Thank you so much.
We have
bye-bye.
Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I think she just hung up. I don't know. We had a very good show tonight. I think we, got a lot of things in there. And Dr. Tina Medina was a very, very good guest, whatever. And this is what NASCA is about. We're here for each other, and we have good, you know, great guests on, okay? On Friday, we're going to have a very good guest, and on Wednesday, we're going to have a very good guest also, okay? So listen in, because you can learn a lot. And Wednesday's guest is about bullying, and I like that. I'm not supposed to be on, but
too.
I'm going to listen. Yeah, I'm going to be listening.
Well, I'm going to be hosting. I'm going to be hosting that
show. Oh, you're
going to
be hosting? I'm
going to
be listening.
Yes, I am.
And Because he's got, and you know what? He used to live one town away from me years ago.
Really? Wow.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I am just so happy that he's going to be on.
Yeah.
It's just great. But anyway, listen, I want to thank everybody that came on. It was a very good show, absolutely.
Love y'all. Love
very
y'all
lively,
very, yeah.
very lively.
Great
I like
show.
Lively shows. Yeah.
Great show, Dr.
And,
Tino.
Great show, guys.
She,
we're all together working.
Well, there you are. I thought you hung up. Yeah. Well, maybe it was Roberta hung up. I don't know. Somebody hung up. Maybe it's the ghost that hung up. I'm getting off here. But anyway, all right, God bless everyone. And, you know, we'll
you
be
too.
Back again tomorrow. You know, you take care of yourself now, okay? Good night. Love you
thanks.
Guys.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Y'all.
God bless.
Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that's gone.